welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of December 3rd. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and jet-lagged Melissa Hansen.
I'm jet-lagged and I got a cold. Stupid plane germs. Jeez, man. Well, I also was walking around in, like, technically 5 degrees.
Oh, 5 degrees Celsius. Yeah.
And rain and wind and everything in London.
The whole time you were there?
So it was a great trip, but yeah. I ended up getting sick.
Yeah, boy.
But I did, you know, went to museums and, you know, all that kind of stuff, yeah. But got to see a couple of West End theater productions.
Ooh, like what?
Saw Spamalot.
Oh.
I thought it was appropriate being in England.
Yeah, this is true.
Really fun. I've actually seen it before. I saw the first production of it.
Before it even went to Broadway,
Broadway. It opened in Chicago. So great. Tim Curry, David Hyde Pierce.
Yep.
There. This is a really good cast. But, of course, King Arthur wasn't played by Tim Curry, so it's not going to be good.
Right.
But, no, really fun.
Were there differences in the show that you noticed?
There were. The big difference was very interesting.
What?
In the one I saw in Chicago before it went to Broadway, they talk about Broadway.
Yes.
And it's Arthur is the character. It was David Hyde Pierce in the production I saw. This whole about Broadway and what you need to make it there.
Yes. Yes.
You need a Jew.
Yes, you do.
And it's a song, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a great song.
Okay. Well, guess what?
What?
It was not a Jew. It was a star.
No.
Wrote the song. Now, I don't know if it was not to be offensive or that people in England wouldn't get it.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Because it's such an American thing that Hollywood and Broadway, like that's Jews true. Run entertainment in America.
Yeah.
So they switched some of the lyrics and it was just, there simply must be a star.
Oh.
So it's, and I'm waiting for it and the song starts. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. I'm like, wait a minute, am I remembering something wrong? Or is this? Anyhow, yeah, so they totally rewrote the song and made it, You Need a Star.
Because if I remember correctly, that night, David Hyde Pierce did that. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard, and everyone was on the floor.
Oh, it was hysterical.
Oh,
and, like, not offensive.
No.
It was, like, in good humor. I mean, because it was musicals, and, like, it was play production, and there's some truth in that.
It was very much a Mel Brooks-type musical number.
But it was really, it was cute and funny. It wasn't offensive.
No.
But anyhow, so for whatever reason, they totally changed that song.
Okay.
So I would love to know, like, the reasoning and who rewrote it and how it happened.
Yeah.
And then there were some lines that referenced pop culture.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they mentioned Justin Bieber and whatever.
Okay.
The little things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But totally fun. And the other play we saw.
Yeah.
Was The Mousetrap.
Ooh, vintage.
Agatha Christie.
Yep.
Like 2 days before we saw it, it started its 60th year.
Holy cow.
Running for, or celebrated its 60th year. Running for 60 years.
Wow.
Insane, like longest running play in the world.
Is that Leicester Square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right, yeah, the theater's right near there. Yeah, so anyhow, you know, it was a great production. And it's totally classic to see that in London, obviously. But yeah. Yeah, insane how long it's been running.
Very
so,
nice.
You know, it's really interesting. Reading the history of it, she wrote it as a play.
Oh.
And then went and made a short story, except there's this whole, all this stuff. She ended up, like, gifting it to a family member.
Hmm.
And it can't be produced in any other way until it stops running on the West End.
Oh, wow.
So it can't, they allow like one production a year somewhere else kind of thing, but it can't be made into a movie.
Interesting.
Or anything else until it stops running on the West End.
Huh.
Well, it looks like
it'll never end.
So if you want to see it, you're going to have to go there.
Wow.
But anyhow, it was just so amazing being in London, but just being West End theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
You know, people who love theater, it's that and Broadway are like the two best in the world. So it's just a thrill to be like sitting in a crappy old rundown seat.
Yeah, that's true.
But like knowing you're in the West End of London. So that was my entertainment this week.
Nice. Well, I don't have much to share. I mean, I watched Glengarry Glen Ross on Netflix, which I hadn't seen that movie in a while.
Yeah.
Because I auditioned for the show. here at the Rochester Opera House. And so I went through it twice, and I was just it was a reminder of what an amazing actor Jack Lemmon was.
Yeah.
That performance in there was just brilliant.
And that was just a cast.
Oh, my God.
Of greatness.
No doubt. No doubt. But we've missed a couple weeks at the box office, given that we were off, and there's some new faces on the top 10 list, and some old standbys as well.
Right. So number one, to be shocking, still Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Right.
We're up over $250 million total. Oh. It was only 17.4 for the weekend.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a huge drop, but expected. Skyfall is just under that with $17 million.
Which is good. Have you seen that yet?
No.
That would have been something to see in London while you were there.
I know. So much to do. But
I enjoyed it. It was very much a Judi Dench movie.
Yes.
She plays a huge part. I mean, basically the whole plot revolves around her. But I don't agree that it was... A lot of people were talking about this was probably the best Bond since On Her Majesty's Secret Service or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd put it in that category, but it just certainly was a worthwhile. Sam Mendes did a great job with this movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my list to see, and I don't know when, but oh well. But then in third place, Rise of the Guardians.
Which just opened.
Yep, just recently opened, and it actually tied for the weekend with Lincoln.
Ah.
It booked at $13.5 million. Okay. And then Life of Pi, $12 million.
I need to see that.
It's under $50 million total, which is not bad, but not for how huge that is in the grand scale of it.
Yeah, the marketing they put into it too.
Yeah, not so much there.
Yeah. So,
the big funky ones, you know, are not making it.
No, like Cloud Atlas.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's new movie, Killing Them Softly, opened very softly itself at $7 million. And that remake of Red Dawn with Chris Hemsworth, also pretty paltry.
Tinkin, $6.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so great.
No. Coming up this week, we're definitely into awards season releases ahead of, like, The Hobbit, which will be coming out on the 14th. But Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
It's opening this weekend with Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren. Sorry. It's Hitch and his wife Alma during the creation of Psycho. And what I didn't realize, it's from director Sasha Gervasi, who did that acclaimed heavy metal documentary Anvil, The Story of Anvil.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that he was behind this. But it looks interesting. It's getting mixed reviews. There are some people who...
Yeah, really mixed.
We've got another... Las Vegas-based romantic comedy. This one's called Laid the Favorite, but it's from director Stephen Frears, who, big British highfalutin director who did The Queen and then did stuff like High Fidelity.
Right, yeah, he's kind of all over the board.
He is.
Directed, man.
But listen to this cast. Bruce Willis, Vince Vaughn, Rebecca Hall, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Corbin Burnson, Joel Murray, Joshua Jackson, and Laura Prepon.
Talk about all over the place.
Yeah.
That cast is, too.
It's almost like a Woody Allen movie going on there.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Another romantic comedy, Playing for Keeps. This one stars Gerard Butler as a washed-up professional athlete who's coaching his son's soccer team and gets hit on by every soccer mom in a 50-mile radius.
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is in this one as well, but also Jessica Biel, Dennis Quaid, Judy Greer, and Uma Thurman.
Well, watch it just for Judy Greer, but... Yeah. Pretty much nothing else there.
I'm not a big Gerard Butler fan. And then the other movie that's opening is Roger Mitchell's slice of life biopic of FDR called Hyde Park on the Hudson.
Now, this looks cool.
Yeah, it's...
Not just because who's starring in it.
It's Bill Murray playing the former president.
How cool is that?
Yeah. But it also has Laura Linney, Samuel West, and Olivia Williams, who was kind of the bad guy on Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. She ran so she's in this as well.
Yeah, that looks really interesting.
If you are not going to the box office, you want to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got a handful of stuff, big name, small name. Dark Knight Rises is the biggest release, Christopher Nolan's wrap up to his trilogy. And in various forms, in trilogy form and single form and whatever.
Yeah.
Pixar is releasing two of their movies in 3D on Blu-ray this week, Finding Nemo and Up.
Eh.
Yeah.
Not and the movies.
No, but the 3D stuff. Criterion is releasing Brazil on a Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Which had been, they had done their DVD release already, so this is their upgrade.
Yeah.
The Odd Life of Timothy Green with Jennifer Garner is coming. Mm-hmm. Hope Springs with Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep. You got Star Trek The Next Generation Season 2 in Blu-ray. And there's a movie that I really want to see, this Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Ooh, what's that?
It's kind of a supernatural, mythical thing, but it takes place down in the bayou, down in Louisiana, New Orleans. You know, everything's kind of post-Katrina right now, so there's kind of that type of thing, but there's a supernatural element. And I know people who've seen it who swear by the movie, and it just has not gotten a lot of play. So I'm curious to see how well it does on DVD and Blu-ray. And then Christmas Horror. So Silent Night, Deadly Night, which was back in the 80s, parts right. 1 and 2. And then they've done a remake. Anchor Bay has done a remake of it. So that's also available this week.
All right, then.
Yep. Over at Netflix, there is a boatload of stuff because it's the first of the month. Flashdance. With Jennifer Beals, Red Dawn, the original one with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, go watch that one.
Wolverines! The Paper Chase. John Houseman.
Cool.
Then you've got just a weird eclectic mix of things. Bad Boys 2, Michael Bay with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. You've got Wes Craven's original Scream. Bowling for Columbine, Michael Moore's documentary.
Ooh, yeah.
The English Patient.
That's a new one. I haven't heard of that one.
Ray Fiennes, Charlize Theron, and Young Adult. Paul Newman and Nobody's Fool. If you've never seen this, Paul Newman and Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
It's a very sweet movie.
Paul Newman plays a bit of an ass in it.
He does.
Kind of fun to watch.
It is. It's really a nice little picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good one. And so is Young Adult. You mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. Patton Oswalt in that is awesome.
Yeah, completely.
And then for Adam West, Burt Ward fans, Batman the movie, the 1966 original Batman, to kind of counterbalance Christopher Nolan's very serious, you know, in this case it's Adam West saying, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. And he runs around with a giant bomb in his hand trying to get rid of it. Over at Hulu, there is just an overwhelming onslaught of foreign language films that I won't even go into because none of them really made any impact on me in terms of recognition factor.
So yeah, you can't say any of their names, can you?
That too.
I know the real reason.
But if you are into foreign language films, there's a slew for you to go through. There's two other things that I would recommend. One is a documentary called American Teacher, which is a great look at the American education system as it currently stands and how messed up it is. And also the real positives that are contained within that mess. And then,
that's good to see.
Yeah. And then Riff Tracks, which is the other spinoff of the Mystery Science Theater folks, as opposed to Cinematic Titanic, they're releasing a series of Christmas shorts, which should be hilarious.
Oh, yes.
So go check that out on Hulu. But that's all I've got, and I'll throw it over to you for TV.
Okay. Well, Monday night, we have Blake's Not-So-Family Christmas.
What?
We're starting the Christmas special, oh, baby.
Is this Blake
Shelton? Country star and voice star.
Yeah.
It's comedy and music Christmas special. And Kelly Clarkson's in it. Of course, Miranda Lambert, his wife, is in it.
Okay.
So for all you Blake fans, you can check that out. And Tuesday, macho guys aren't going to know what to do with themselves.
Why?
Because on FX, we have the season finale of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh,
but over at CBS, at the same time, we have Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. Gonna have to make a choice there, guys.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know. It's what DVRs are for.
Yeah, exactly. Wednesday. Because, you know, I've been thinking we really don't have enough music specials.
Uh-oh.
You know, with big artists singing, like the Grammys.
Yeah.
So we need the Grammy nominations concert.
What?
So it's a special where some big acts perform and they announce the biggest nominations.
Oh, my God.
So, really, it's like the Grammys, except they list five people instead of, like, one.
The pre-Grammys.
Anyhow, that's on CBS.
Nice.
Friday, speaking of awards, Spike has its 10th annual video game awards.
Oh.
So, if you are a big player not sexually, but nerdily. You can check that out.
Nice.
In music this week, we have the new one by Kesha. It's called Warrior. And I remember when you're searching for this online to buy it, she does not use an S in her name. She uses a dollar sign.
Yeah.
Anyhow, new box set coming out. It's called Old School, and it's Alice Cooper.
Oh, wow.
It's stuff from 1964 to 1974.
Oh, damn.
So fans of his, and speaking of not quite as old, but Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, the Smashing Pumpkins, it's coming out in a huge deluxe edition box set with CDs and DVDs and stuff, but it's also coming out on vinyl.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Well, and if you're a huge fan of vinyl, don't get too excited, because I know huge fans of stuff on vinyl are going to love this. They're releasing Taylor Swift's latest album, Red, on vinyl.
Why?
I don't know. Isn't that odd?
How many kids who are Taylor Swift's fan own a record player?
Right, exactly. It's just, it's an odd choice.
Well, she's weird. I mean, and the more she gets, the deeper she gets into her career, the more weird she becomes.
Yeah. Give her a few more years and she'll be like frickin'
Madonna. You can't stand her.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She might end up just like Madonna. Mm-hmm. Will she do a fake British accent? I bet she does a fake French accent. That's how she'll differentiate.
She'll do a fake Kennedy accent.
Yeah, nice. Okay. And then one last one, the Hitchcock soundtrack. We talked about the movie coming out. The soundtrack is going to be out on CD and MP3 and whatever. And that's Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman doing Bernard Herrmann, which has got to be fantastic.
Yeah. So, big fans of his. You want to check that out. Yeah. And in books this week, man, Tom Clancy is like taking over for James Patterson, I think. He has a new Jack Ryan book. It's called Threat Vector. Hmm. But it's co-written with Mark Greene. So Tom Clancy is co-writing stuff now.
Okay, so he is becoming the whole Robert Ludlum, James Patterson.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So anyhow, still missing the Olympics?
No.
Gabby Douglas, the gymnast that was like the big breakout star. She has a memoir out called Grace, Gold, and Glory, My Leap of Faith. And that, of course, is co-written by Michelle Burford.
Okay.
And then a new release of Les Mis to tie in with the movie.
Yes.
So it's a new edition of that classic Victor Hugo, which of course is translated into English.
Of course.
So, and then all you food TV fans, Tyler Florence Fresh is coming out, cookbook by Tyler Florence, celebrity chef. Hmm. Okay, and then this is cool. Roger Ebert's Movie Yearbook 2013, 25th anniversary edition. It's got all of his movie reviews written from January 2010 to July 2012.
Ooh.
And a whole bunch of other stuff in there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been blogging a lot, so.
Yeah, so there's other stuff. So that should be interesting for your big movie fans or, you know, gift for them.
Yeah.
There you go. I just solved your Christmas problem.
There you go. Nice. Nice.
All right. And big, big female stars just came to Broadway this past weekend.
Ooh.
David Mamet's world premiere of The Anarchist.
Yeah.
It stars Patti LuPone and Deborah Winger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's set in a woman's prison. And Patti LuPone plays this, like, radical who's been in jail for 35 years. And she's seeking parole. And Deborah Winger is, like, the parole advisor who has to determine. So very cool. And like I said, huge female stars coming to Broadway this past weekend. Because Katie Holmes is back there. It's a comedy called Dead Accounts. So that just opened this past weekend.
Well,
so you can either see Patti LuPone or Katie Holmes.
See, now Patti LuPone is a tough enough bitch as it is. I mean, and I don't mean that in a cruel way, but I mean, she's got this real kind of personality about her. But her doing Mamet, that's exponentially cool.
Right. So, if you are someone I would want to be friends with, go see Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
If you're someone that I would never want to be friends with, go see Katie Holmes.
Nice.
There you go.
All right. well, as we move into entertainment news, I'm going to take a giant step into the serious column. you and I talked about this offline, but we have not talked about it on the show, and that was the entire Kevin Clash resigning from Sesame Workshop.
It broke like right before we started recording a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Facts, so I didn't want to mention it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know, it didn't, I didn't either want to smear his name or, you know, I wanted to have all the facts.
Right. Now, Kevin has come to great prominence. He is now an executive producer, or was, on Sesame Workshop. He is the man who created Elmo, and he really was the next generation. Yeah, I think it was actually Jerry Nelson who first created the puppet and then gave it up to Kevin, and Kevin took it over and made it its own.
Yeah, what it is, what the character is today, it's all due to Kevin.
Yeah, but... And he was really the next generation of, you know, if Frank and Jim and Jerry and those guys were the first generation of Muppeteers, Kevin came up in that second group.
Right.
And he was doing, if you've ever seen the Being Elmo documentary, which is a beautiful little piece.
It's amazing. I watched that and he seriously became one of my heroes in life.
Which makes this news all the more trouble.
Yes.
So in very Jerry Sandusky fashion, there's been a series of men in their 20s, I believe, right?
Yeah, so it's slightly different.
Yeah.
It's not the number and it's not the young age.
No,
but
the similarities in terms of
just
one
they're
after
coming out of the woodwork now.
Claiming that Kevin has had improper sexual relationships with them
when they were
underage,
like 16, 17. So, yeah, and it, I don't know. It's the first one, like, recanted his story pretty quick. But it looks like, I mean, he's basically paid off to recant it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way
he recanted his recantation.
Yeah.
So my guess would be, this is completely my opinion, that, you know, there's truth to this.
Yeah.
That he was sleeping with young men and, you know, who were underage. And that, you know, he's trying to cover it up.
I just,
Another one of my heroes has crashed and burned. I pretty much have none left.
Well, and... You know, it is true that creative people tend to have vices more than non-creative people. I mean, there seems to be documented evidence that shows at least, and maybe it's because they're higher profile that these stories get written.
Come out, right.
You know? Whereas in other cases, they don't. It could just be a human thing across the board. But it is really, it's frustrating to see some incredibly talented people have their entire lives just thrown away because of these base human impulses. And, you know, granted, this is criminal activity and we're not condoning or anything, but it's sad for me to see somebody who's so talented just...
Right. It's sad for the victims.
It's incredibly sad for the victims and their families.
It's sad for the person who couldn't control themselves. And it's a freaking loss for all of us.
Absolutely.
When these either talented people or smart people or, you know, whatever, the people who could change the world for the better, like, fuck it up like this.
Yeah, I mean, how many people were literally impacted by Elmo? I mean, growing up, kids who were, and this, you know, this speaks to Jim Henson was our generation and how he changed our, you know, the entire Gen X. I mean, I was watching Sesame Street Classics was on Netflix the other night. I just had it on in the background. And I was having major childhood flashbacks because stuff from 30, 40 years ago is popping up and it's still replaying in my brain. It's incredible things. And if that had happened to Jim and those kind of things came out, oh my God, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Sad. And the story is not over yet, but I don't know. I'm just disturbed. But on to more interesting things and more positive notes, perhaps.
Please.
Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back, has signed on to script Star Wars Episodes 8 and 9.
Okay.
They've already got Episode 7. We talked about the writer for that. And now the rumors, of course, about the directors. We talked about it. Brad Bird already turned it down. J.J. Abrams has said he's involved in other things. And does, you know, he's got Star Trek. He doesn't need Star Wars as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Two new names that are circling at least Episode 7. David Fincher, who worked for ILM as a teen in the early 20s.
Oh, did he? That's cool.
And worked on Return of the Jedi, actually.
I didn't know that. I did not know that. Very cool.
That came out as a visual effects artist. And then Jon Favreau, who is championing himself for the job.
Of course he is.
He's a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah, yeah. And good. And he did the first two Iron Man movies.
He did. The first one was great. The second Acton one.
And, yeah.
Second one sucked balls.
Big, larger-than-life characters.
Yeah.
So he's shown he can handle that.
Yeah. And he did Cowboys and Aliens, too, even though the movie didn't do very well. He, you know, there is that sci-fi part of him that he's been... And Zathura. He did the kind of space version of Jumanji.
Okay. Yeah.
George Lucas's producing partner Rick McCallum announced his retirement today, leaving Kathleen Kennedy to assemble her own team. And it's the passing of the torch.
Right, it's not surprising.
Yeah, he's stepping aside. Warner Brothers' Justice League film is finally getting some traction. Will Beal, who wrote the upcoming Gangster Squad with Sean Penn and Ryan Gosling and Josh Brolin, about the LA gangsters in the 40s, he's working on the script for the Justice League movie, which is going to go classic Super Friends. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, Flash.
Nice.
And the rumored villain for this picture is Darkseid, which is no surprise because he is the baddest of the bad of DC's intergalactic villains. So, some people were pitching for Joker and, you know, Lex Luthor to get together, but that's been done before in animated form, so I think going this way is probably a smart idea. We talked briefly about J.J. Abrams. His Star Trek Into Darkness finally gets a teaser poster ahead of next week's 9-minute IMAX preview. And as the story goes, people thought it was going to be kind of a Wrath of Khan thing, that Khan was going to come back and they were going to do that. Well, no, they've gone back to the original series, to the second pilot, the first William Shatner episode.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Lieutenant Commander Gary Mitchell, who is played by Gary Lockwood, is one of these guys. He's a regular member of Starfleet, gets caught in a magnetic storm, develops kind of these telekinetic... godlike powers, and then develops a god complex and starts systematically wiping people out. So it's up to Kirk and crew to stop him. And so it seems like this is going to be an Earthbound tale. Like they're going to be on New Earth, what they call it, and it's going to be the crew against a superpowered one of their own.
Okay, interesting. I'm watching it no matter what it's about. So
yeah, well, it's JJ. I mean, he proved with the last film that.
Yeah.
Filming's wrapped on Disney's Maleficent, starring Angelina Jolie. So, of course, they're moving ahead with another fairy tale live-action adaptation, which is Cinderella.
Oh, okay. Because that's not been done to death.
But Lady Tremaine, after reviewing Cinderella again on Blu-ray, realizing that Lady Tremaine is really the baddest of the Disney villains. I mean, this woman is... just cruel and heartless. Cate Blanchett has been signed to that role.
That's pretty sweet. Okay, never mind. Forget everything I said. I will totally watch this.
They're looking at Saoirse Ronan as Cinderella, and also Gabriella Wilde, who was in Three Musketeers. Saoirse was in... she did the Peter Jackson. What was the one about the girl who gets... Oh, I'm totally blanking on that. The girl who gets kind of kidnapped and sexually abused and then... Lovely Bones. Lovely Bones.
Yeah.
She was in that.
Yeah, she was in Lovely Bones. Yeah.
She was in Hannah, too, which is the teenage assassin thing. So she's very talented.
Yeah, she's very talented and very, like, lovely.
Yeah. And finally, for those who have been waiting with bated breath to see who Miss Golden Globe will be this year.
Oh, that's right.
It's who? Francesca Eastwood.
Oh, okay.
Clint's daughter with Frances Fisher, who has been featured prominently on the Clint's current wife, Dina's reality series, Mrs. Eastwood and Company. So,
all right, then.
Nepotism reigns supreme. All right, I'm done. What do you got?
Okay. Well, our friend Kimmy.
Yes, Kim Kardashian.
We're such good friends. We can call it Kimmy. She's been overseas opening a couple of millions of milkshakes franchises.
Oh my God.
Which is, it's a big LA thing.
It's a terrible LA thing. It's a milkshake store,
but they get all these celebrities to come and they name stuff after celebrities and whatever. So she's been there. I'm sure they paid her like $1 zillion to go over.
Yeah.
But the most recent one was in Bahrain.
What?
And there are all these protesters outside. And the police use like stun grenades to get rid of them. Now, this is slightly unconfirmed. I mean, it's all over the place, this story.
Oh,
but
my God.
The officials are saying, oh, no, 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 we don't know what you're talking about. It was perfectly fine. We love Kim Kardashian. So
A,
anyhow,
the fact that she's
yeah.
there, and B, that there would be any kind of protests for Kim Kardashian. Like,
well, she's such a bad role model. That's why.
Okay.
So, yep. Oh, so God. Kimmy's causing people to get hit with stun grenades.
At some point, this has to end. I'm waiting yeah. for the week that shows up where the Kardashians, you know, are systematically wiped off the face of the earth, or they
How long have I been doing this?
I know.
And there's a new story every single freaking week.
I don't know. It's got to. It has to end.
Eventually, but I can't believe it hasn't already. And there's actually more than one story. Rob and his singer girlfriend, I'm not even going to bother to look up her name, yeah. just broke up. And he was tweeting all about, well, she slept with like 20 guys while we were together. So I wonder how many she'll sleep with now. So that's really adult and mature.
Of course, I flash right back to Kevin Smith's Clerks. You sucked how many? No, sorry. Yeah.
So there's more than one story I could do with Kardashians almost every week.
That's sad. That's a sad comment on society.
It is. We're pitiful.
Yep, and we're propagating.
And I'm just totally going with it and promoting them, so.
Oh, and on that sad note, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can check out our reviews at DVDverdict.com, and they have been somewhat sporadic as of late. My schedule has been absolutely insane, so I'm trying my best to keep up with everything, but it's been extremely difficult. So, no, we're not going away, but yes, some days may be lighter than others until we can get through the holidays.
But the quality will not decrease.
This is true. This is true. But until next time, Melissa Ann, take it away.
The only way you try to find moving on with the rest of your life starts with goodbye.